All right, everybody, welcome to the Window Cleaning Success Podcast. I have Danny Thomas here with Danny Thomas Pro Clean. I am really excited to learn from him. He has been gracious enough to get on this podcast and just share with us his wisdom, his insights. He's been in the industry for a long, long time. And I'm just excited. Danny, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your business. How long you've been in business, maybe approximate revenue, if you're willing, trucks, employees, services offered. I did notice you offered more than window cleaning, just stuff like that. Maybe just kind of give us an idea.
Been in business since August of 88, started in window cleaning exclusively, doing a lot of work for a janitorial firm, which lasted, he told me that I would never catch up, and we caught up in about 2 months.
That's awesome.
We continued to do work for him for a while, but there wasn't a lot of work that he provided me, and I had to go out and find my own stuff. We ended up parting ways after a while, but got me started, got me going, and kind of never really looked back. Although in the first 20 years, really, there were a lot of 12 to 15 hour days when, you know, there were times when I said, yeah, this is a lot of work. And, you know, I think getting started is a lot more work than continuing it once you've gotten started. But it's a little different than working for Boeing or working for a big employer where you put in your 8 hours or whatever and you go home and you may occasionally think about what you got on the schedule for the next day, but it doesn't rule your life. And in a business like this, you're really never off the clock 100%. So yeah, I take vacations occasionally, every 2 to 3 years. And
every 2 to 3 years,
I take my phone with me and I answer it and all that kind of stuff somewhat, although I'm working to get somebody else to answer phones when I'm out of town so that I don't have to, unless it's sometimes I take an out of town working trip where I'm basically getting away to catch up on business. And then I definitely will take my phone and I'll keep it on and I'll answer the calls. But, I want to get a setup where I can go for 2 or 3 days without, personally having to answer the phones. I'd still check in with whoever's answering and find out if there's anything I needed to know, but it's not the same as answering every call.
So how many trucks do you have out right now? How many crews?
I have two carpet vans and two other vehicles, one that I'm needing to replace right now that go out for window cleaning jobs and gutter cleaning jobs.
Okay. And you, what's the most of the area that you serve? I know you've probably served many areas, but do you have like a specific?
To a certain degree, I like to keep it within 15 to 20 miles of the office. But we do a large corporate account that some of them are closer to 60 miles or 70 miles, 80 miles even. But you got to satisfy the customer, and that's a big, big customer. Yeah. Generally speaking, obviously, the distance you're willing to travel to do a job depends on the size of the job. So, you know, if you're doing a $125 job and you're paying employees a reasonable wage, it's hard to go anything that's going to have you driving an hour and a half and doing the job and driving an hour and a half back and make any money, and especially with Seattle traffic. So we try to stay out of Seattle.
Are you mostly in Tacoma?
We are in Federal Way. So we do a lot of work in Tacoma, a lot of work in Federal Way and Auburn. We go down to Enumclaw. The only one in the south direction that's kind of challenging is Puyallup on Meridian, because the traffic there is pretty horrendous, but usually there's ways around it, and it's something that we just go ahead and do when we have them because it's not that far.
So you mentioned it took you 2 months to beat this guy.
I'm sorry?
is that you mentioned in the beginning, it took you 2 months to beat this guy, the guy that you're working for.
Oh, no. Well, I wouldn't say to beat him. I just to catch up on the work that he told me it would take a long time to catch up if I could ever do it.
But that's amazing. Like, how did you do that? How did you?
Worked a lot of hours, but I think mostly he just didn't think that I would have the stick-to-itiveness to really work. And so,
I mean, were you knocking doors? Were you doing flyers?
No. He had work that he had already. It was part of his janitorial contract, and he was a big janitorial company.
Okay.
So he was just adding in the window cleaning, and he had talked to a lot of his, and I assume that he thought there were going to be a lot more of his janitorial clients wanting window cleaning. And
yeah,
I kind of made that mistake myself, because when I added carpet cleaning, I assumed all of my window cleaning customers would want my carpet cleaning, and it doesn't work out that way 100% because they have people they like. And
what is your ideal customer then? Like,
Well, I get excited anytime I get a customer that says, I need window cleaning, gutter cleaning, and carpet cleaning. Come out and give me a quote. I mean,
Nice. Obviously
that's going to be a lot more dollar volume than one that just wants any one of the three.
So you target bundle services, it sounds like, if you can.
I don't really target it totally. I definitely do advertise in a way that everybody knows that I do all three. And we also do some pressure washing, some other stuff, but I don't know that I target bundle work. I just make sure that everybody that calls me and wants one of the three knows that I do the others.
Okay. Okay. Do you have like a unique selling proposition or some way that you kind of position yourself where you're different than somebody else or something that kind of sticks out?
We do offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, meaning that if you're not happy, we will make it right or give you your money back, whichever we have to do.
Yeah.
In the years that I've done that, I've given one person her money back, and I actually did that by refusing to cash her check, though she said to go ahead and cash it. But she told me that she wasn't happy with the work and she was going to have to hire somebody else. Actually, it was a carpet job. And I think she, after we did the cleaning, she opted to have the carpet replaced. And I just said, that's my guarantee. I'm not going to charge you.
Yeah. Well, I bet she appreciated that. And I think we all know that bad reviews go a long way. And so Absolutely. When you're able to, when you're able to keep those off your record, that helps.
You know, most of the bad reviews I've gotten over the years were from people I'd never met.
Yeah, I know. So, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of marketing do you use right now? Like, what's your marketing?
I think that we've really gotten to the point of almost all of our marketing is done online.
Okay.
I've done schools. I've done golf courses. I've done billboards.
Yeah, me too.
None of them
have. They don't work.
None of them have gotten me in. I still do a couple of schools, but I do it basically as a donation to the school, just to help the school, not to get work, because I know from the beginning it's not going to get me anything.
So online, are you doing like SEO, pay-per-click, that kind of thing?
I'm not doing any pay-per-click. I do SEO myself. I've hired other people to do it. I haven't gotten the results I wanted. I firmly believe the majority of them have great sales departments and actually don't even have a department that actually does the work. So it's been frustrating to hire somebody else to do it. Doing it myself has worked better.
Yeah. Do you do any direct mail anymore at all?
Some a little bit to current clients, but my trying direct mail to prospects in the past hasn't panned out as well as I would like. So I've kind of gone away from it.
Yeah. One of the guys I was talking to earlier this week, he uses Postcard Mania and he's had a lot of success just because they're really good at what they do. I think he spends around 20, he spent, it's like a 1-4. He spends $1, he gets $4 back.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
I've looked at Postcard Mania and it's something we were considering.
Yeah.
Angie's List, which
I know. Home Advisor stuff.
You mentioned Home Advisor in there. There is no such thing as Home Advisor anymore. They changed the name to Angie.
Well, back in the day, it was Service Magic.
I was there.
For all those that are old enough to know what that is.
I was one of their original clients.
I was too. I was and too.
I went to a meeting in Seattle.
Wow.
Signed up there. And I know I used them for several years, and then I did cancel just because I felt like I was getting nothing but apartments and nasty carpet jobs that nobody really wanted to do. And
what about the window cleaning? Were you getting any good window cleaning or gutter cleaning jobs?
You know, I don't recall getting much of those in the early days.
Because we had some decent ones. I mean, I built one of my window cleaning companies that I built a couple of years ago in Reno. We got some good window cleaning, good gutter cleaning, plus some gutter guards, which was huge profit margins for those.
So you put gutter guards on?
We'd have people that would ask to have their gutters cleaned. We'd say, hey, yeah, we'll clean your gutters. But would you like to have something on there where you don't have to worry about it as much? And they were definitely willing to entertain it and come out and measure it. And $10.
I have a little issue with it in the Seattle area. Because it provides more shade and we have rain so much of the year that the big green balls grow underneath the guards. So I've actually been hired by many clients to take the guards off and throw them away.
Okay. Well, I guess it definitely, obviously the climate and it's definitely more wet there than Reno.
We have a little thing here from Ketchikan, Alaska down to Portland, Oregon area where it's just, this has been an exceptional year. It's been real dry for a while. We just started getting some rains, but overall this area is about 7 months out of the year. We don't rain hard very often. We're just wet.
Yeah.
I mean,
enough to keep it green.
I came up here from Denver. And when I talked to the boss about coming up here, I asked the guy that was here at the time, how much does it rain up here? And he said 366 days a year. And I'm like, how do you get any work done when it rains in Denver? We send the guys home. And he said, oh, we just work in the rain.
I was
here for 3 days and I said, when's it gonna rain? He said, it's been raining the whole time you've been here. I said, oh, I see, you call this rain. Well, it's more of a light mist.
Yeah, that to me is perfect. That's nice. Mm-hmm.
It's better for work.
Yeah, for sure.
It's better for work than hot sun, really.
Well, and down in Phoenix, there's monsoon seasons where everyone doesn't do anything for 2 months and they see any rain in the forecast. They're like, nope.
I wasn't part of it, but Denver Window Cleaning had a shop in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
And they worked in the night with big floodlights on the stages to clean high-rise buildings because you couldn't work. There was no way to work in the day.
So my crews in Vegas would work. They would start at 3 a.m. so they could get done at 10 a.m. with a lot of the power washing and window cleaning. Because, as you know, I mean, it's literally 100 degrees at night. Yeah. But Phoenix is even worse. you know, I always would remind them, hey, if you think it's hot, just be glad you're not in Phoenix.
Yeah. My mother and father-in-law live in Yuma.
Okay.
In the winter, and when it gets to 85 to 90 degrees, he's out of there. But he was thinking about going down early a while ago, and he checked, and it was 115. He says, "Nah, I don't think so."
that's super hot. I mean, I know people run successful operations down there, but it is for sure hot. Do you do any BNI, Chamber of Commerce? I'm just curious if you do any of those.
I've done the BNI. I did it for about 4 years. It's just difficult to arrange the time and everything else.
Between
clients wanting your time and everything else, it's hard to commit that kind of time. I've done a few right in the last year where they've been online only, and I like it a lot better, but now there seems like they're all going back to just meeting in person. And
were you doing any radio too on top of your billboard? I'm just curious if you did any of that radio, TV, anything like that.
I don't think I've ever actually done a radio ad.
Okay.
They call, they want you to do them, and they always want you to just do this silly little public service type ad. And
yeah,
I don't know that I'm interested in that.
So out of all your marketing efforts, which one do you think has actually driven the most leads for you then?
Wow, that's a really tough question because it's changed over the years. For quite a while, it was just Google. Yeah. But I still think overall it's marketing through your current clients. I do get a lot from what used to be Home Advisor.
Okay.
Although I have a real small area that I accept leads in.
So let me ask you a follow-up for that. Like, how do you nurture your current client base? Because I'm sure by now, I mean, 33 years with just this business, you probably have a huge client base that you must, do you mail to them? Do you email? Like, what do you do to keep in contact?
I do still mail a lot, but I'm really switching over to just emailing for the most part. The problem is I do find that a lot of clients don't open emails.
Yeah, that's so yeah.
It's kind of tough to get a response rate where they actually open it. But I don't know how much they even look at stuff that you mail to them either. So, I do get certainly a lot that call me and say, "Hey, I got your piece in the mail." But
yeah,
and I get quite a few that say, "You know, thanks for the email. It reminded me." But
so I have a guy that likes to use a company called Text Magic.
And I've seen advertisements for it.
And he'll throw his list in there and he will text all of them and he'll fill up his schedule for a couple of weeks and he'll just do that periodically.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And I thought that was kind of genius. I'm like, well, at least they know you. So if you are, when you are texting them, they don't, you know, it's not just some spammy text and you're able to fill your schedule. I just think about all these different ways that we try to keep in contact with our current customer base. And you're right. There's only a certain amount of emails that are open. And a lot of times if they have a Gmail account, Gmail would just send it straight to spam anyways, depending on how your email server is set up. And then of course, mail, depending on what it looks like, sometimes doesn't get seen either. It is good, I think, to have a good mix. But it sounds like, I mean, if you're having a lot of your repeat business happen, they definitely know who you are and you must be keeping in front of them somehow. Whatever you're doing, it seems to be working.
I still do a lot of just calling and leaving messages, although I've quit leaving voice messages for the most part. So if I call them and they don't answer, I usually just hang up and send them a text because frankly, most people don't check their voicemail these days. I know that because when I do listen to their message, an awful lot of the time it says mailbox is full and cannot accept messages at this time.
Yeah. So do you ask for reviews? Do you have any special initiatives to get reviews?
I have in the past, but I really haven't. I've kind of gotten away from it and I need to get back into it.
Okay.
I've worked with customer lobby in the past.
Okay.
And you know what they are.
Yeah, you got them and you got Bird's Eye is one. Nice Job is another one. They got a bunch of different services out there that will kind of contact your list and then bring in some more. It's kind of an autopilot.
I just try to keep it limited to how many different people I have contacting them too, because I don't want them to get totally frustrated with it. I'm working on getting totally set up and working better with something from a company in Arizona called Sotellus.
Sotellus.
Yeah. Okay. It's worth checking out.
Yeah. Okay. Sotellus. I think I might've heard of them, but.
Yeah. You can do, have people do video ads or, you know, video reviews for you.
Oh, that's cool. See, that's
if they're,
nice.
If they're willing.
Yeah.
And, I've found a lot of them say, "Oh no, I don't take good pictures, or I don't want my picture on the internet, or whatever." So they'll just do a regular review for you. But I'm working on getting that set up to where when I get a call from a particular area, I can send them a link, and they can go in and look at what might be neighbors in their area.
Are you doing anything on Facebook, Instagram, any kind of social media stuff?
Still working on it. I don't really do. I don't even know what Instagram is. I mean, I do. I know what Instagram is, but I mean, sure. I'm not on it. I'm not doing anything with it.
Okay.
I think I have an account set up with them, but it was not set up by me. It was set up by one of my employees, and they're no longer here, and I don't really know all the details of it. But I'm working on it.
So it sounds to me like your biggest driver of business is referral and past repeat client base.
Well, and Angie.
And then SEO, right? Like you are getting some stuff from SEO.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find, so, and Angie, so just going to that real quick, a lot of people I talk to just hate Angie's List. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they hate sharing the lead. My experience has been every single market that I've been in, that I've done my window cleaning companies in, I've closed 50% of all my leads. And it's just because when I would get the lead, I was pretty relentless. I would call, text, email them, and I'd do it right. I would call them again real quick just in case I missed them. And then I'd follow up a couple more times that day.
I'm actually starting to try them a couple more times that day. And if I don't get a hold of them, I'm driving to their house.
Really?
And knocking on their door.
Nice. That is impressive. I bet the people are impressed with that.
I've found that the majority of the time in today's society, if they don't answer the phone, they're home.
Yeah.
Because if they were in the car, phone's right beside them, they'd answer it.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, yeah, I do get recordings that say this person is driving right now and can't answer, leave a message. But that's kind of rare. Most people answer their phone while they're driving, in spite of the laws and all that.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay.
As you can see, I'm on Bluetooth. So.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, that makes sense. So out of all of your, when I was looking at your site, I noticed obviously you do window, you can do gutters, you do carpet, you do commercial cleaning. Which one of those, is the one of them more profitable than the others that you like?
That's a tough question to answer because it used to be carpet cleaning unquestionably, but prices for window cleaning have gotten to be such that I really think window cleaning is up there in the ballpark now. I mean, they're very similar in terms of dollars per hour.
And you don't need detergent. I mean, well, you need detergent for cleaning the windows, but you don't have to have this huge machine in a van with all of that detergent.
Yeah. The setup cost for window cleaning, considering I'm still using the same ladder pieces I bought 30 years ago.
That's awesome. Plus,
and they're stack ladders for the window cleaning stack ladders, and they still work great.
Everyone loves the stack ladders.
I've had a couple of them welded over the years where just that rivet has popped out.
Yeah.
And I just bought some new ones from a customer just a guy on Facebook messaging or something like that, had all the rivets gone. And he just basically, I bought them cheap because he wanted to get rid of them. And I said, yeah, I can get the rivets replaced. It's no big deal.
Hmm. So. Okay. So I got a question here that I think a lot of people will really lean in to listen to. And here it is. It's basically your employee attraction, kind of your method and how you retain your current employees.
Hmm.
Especially
treat them well.
Treat them well.
And pay them reasonably. I mean, obviously it's getting tough. And that's one of the reasons it's getting tougher is because they can go to work for Amazon right now. I mean, everybody's looking for employees. And the prices to pay employees has been pushed up so much by the likes of Amazon that, I mean, you can go to Amazon and start out at $20 an hour.
How do you pay your technicians? Do you pay them hourly? Do you pay them commission?
I pay hourly. I have paid commission before, and I had a employee who was a carpet cleaning, had done a lot of carpet. She had been carpet cleaning for almost 30 years, so she knew what she was doing, but she could do a 2-hour carpet job in an hour.
Nice.
And I said, you know, I feel like by paying you a percentage of the job, I'm giving you incentive to do the job too fast. And I'm getting complaints. I don't feel like you're doing the job the way you need to do it.
Yeah.
And she came from Arizona, where there was no real issues with dry time. I mean, that was just not a factor for her.
No.
Here it's a factor. You've got to do your dry passes, and you've got to do them slow enough that your wand has time to pull up the water.
Hmm.
it took her a while to get to understanding that. But after I started paying her hourly instead of, she still started out really fast, but I kept telling her, remember, I'm paying you hourly, and I don't care to make quick money. I want to make happy customers.
So how much do your technicians average an hour?
18.
Okay. And so if you have Amazon's willing to pay them 20 and you're paying them 18, you must be treating them really well. There must be something else in your culture or something that keeps them there.
Well, there's a lot of rumors about Amazon not being the greatest company on earth to work for.
Okay. Yes, I've heard that too.
And it's a totally different type of work. And I've had several employees in the past who had previously worked in warehouses, and they said, oh, never, no way, I'll never do that again.
I did have that actually in Reno. I had some people working at Tesla and they hated it. Mm-hmm. And I think they were working in some type of warehousing. I didn't even know they had some type of, they had warehousing jobs, but anyways.
I guess they have to take care of all the batteries and everything else, but
yeah,
I wouldn't know anything about it.
But if you have someone pushing you and not really caring about your physical well-being, and they just got a number to hit, I think that could be
sure.
At that point, it doesn't matter how much they're making. So do you guys do like employee outings? Do you do any type of events, anything as far as just camaraderie stuff? Just curious.
Not really. We've done, parties before with food and drink and, not alcoholic, but drink.
Sure.
And that sort of stuff. But
and you provide trucks and everything for them?
Absolutely. Well, no, for work purposes only, they don't drive my trucks home.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. That's the same thing I did.
Too much insurance concerns.
I agree. Okay. So what would you say to an owner of a window cleaning business right now who's struggling, they want to take their business to the next level? Would you have any advice for them?
So if we're talking about somebody new just getting into it, first I'd tell them to think about it real seriously, because if you're not willing to put in the kind of time that it requires to do it, you're probably not going to survive. But if you're willing to put in the time and the dedication and to learn some of the things you need to quickly about how to get work, because that's the biggest thing in starting out, is how do you get work? And
what would you tell them to start out with? Like, would you tell them to start Angie's List Leads? What would you tell them to do, like, to get some quick money?
I think I'd tell them first to start SEO and working with Google to try to get stuff that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. If you're not real sure how to deal with the clients, so you're not getting more than 1 out of 3 from Angie's List, now you're paying $75-$80 per client.
Yep.
That's tough. And you can do worse than that. If you're in a position where you're out working, you don't have time to answer your phone. I answer my phone when I'm working for the most part. There are times when I'm talking to a customer or something and I'm just going to silence the phone and let them go to voicemail. But
yeah,
for the most part, I answer my phone. But if you're that type of person where you won't answer your phone when you're working, or you don't hear your phone when you're working, or something of that nature, and so you miss calls and you think that getting back to them 4 or 5 hours later is
going to work.
It ain't.
No. So. Anything else you want to share? Just anything that maybe I haven't covered or.
I think we've covered a majority of, I made a copy of your questions. So
there was one, that last one, if you lost it all, I mean, your entire business, but you wanted to get it up to $10,000 a month in 60 days.
No, I'd go to work. I'd just go to work for Boeing.
Oh, come on. No. but let's say there's no Boeing.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. I realized before I even started my business, after having worked for other people for a while, that I have a really hard time saying yes, sir, when I know the guy telling me to do something this way is wrong. And you really have to be able to do that to be an employee.
Yeah, it's good insight.
I'm just not an employee. And
once you get a taste of entrepreneurism, it's really hard to go back to it.
Well, I don't know. I almost could do it now, maybe, except for that part of it, because the time wise, because my son is 20 and he works for me. When he was growing up, while I'm saying you've got to be willing to put in the hours and everything else, being able to be at his baseball practices and his soccer practices and his games was an important thing to me. So I missed a couple here and there, but very few. I was at the majority of his games.
So this business gives you that time freedom to be able to do that.
It does if you work it right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for years I've had employees, and there was often times when I had employees out working while I was at his games, but for the most part, I was able to get to his games and again, with my phone on me and everything else, but I was there.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate your time in this. Danny, thank you for the insight that you've given. I think it'll help a lot of people who are getting into the business and a lot of people who are currently running their businesses to rethink some of the things that they're doing.
I don't mean to say it that way, but I hope it talks a couple of them out of starting their own business as well. Only,
you know what? It's not for everyone. And that's the thing is,
exactly
right. People should be doing it.
I would much rather see them go to work for Amazon than start a business and go broke, because that's even tougher. So
sure.
That makes life really hard for a couple of years.
Yeah, it does. That's for sure.
I know a lot of people. I mean, I know a few people who've started several businesses, and some of them have not succeeded in every business they've started. But
yeah,
and they would tell you that starting a business and trying to make it work and not being successful is tough.
Yeah, it's not what some of the gurus make it out to be. You know, all luxurious and just. I mean, it can be very, and it is very a lucrative industry, but you got to think right, and you got to be able to be willing to build it as a business versus, you know, I know people where they were in the business for 20 years and they just did all the work themselves and never had any employees. They would never leverage anything, which I believe is the wrong way to do it.
And
if you want to actually run a business.
It can be the right way for some people. I had a boss actually, and well, he ended up being my boss at Denver Window Cleaning, who ran a janitorial company for about 10 years before he came to work at Denver Window Cleaning. And for 9 years he had employees, and he had 8 employees and lots of contracts and all that kind of stuff, mostly did banks. And the last year he did everything by himself, got rid of all of his employees, got rid of all of his clients that weren't basically cream of the crop clients, and did everything himself for a year. And profit wise, he made more money that year than he did in year 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know the profitability is there. It's just your body doesn't last that long.
Running a business with clients with employees is tough. So, You have days when your employees come to work and you can see by the look on their face that they don't want to be there. Sometimes I feel like asking them, okay, so what's wrong? And I know the answer they're going to give me every time is nothing.
Yeah.
Because I've asked the question enough times before that it's always the answer. Nothing's wrong, but you know something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, was it something at home and, you know, trouble with their girlfriend or their mom or their dad or whatever. If that's the case, I'm glad they don't tell me, because I can't help with it. Can't fix it. So,
well, something to think about. And obviously for those who are thinking about having employees, that would be good for them to think about as well.
Yep. I love having employees. It's great. And I like the camaraderie with my employees for the most part.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't tell anybody just go ahead and start out with employees. It's easy. And
it's never easy. Anything that's worth it, it's never easy. It always takes effort.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. I know everyone else will as well. And again, this was the Window Cleaning Success Podcast with Danny Thomas. And Danny, thank you again. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being able to chat with you.